First time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress. Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning.
Guess who's on Radio Fishing? Yes, indeed. It is Carl.
Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
Okay. I'm sorry. I think we got a new theme song for Carl. On Radio Fishing.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one there.
Carl's going, you sucker. I said, you know, because Kale, you know, Diupers Fishing with Fred, that's Kale. Mm-hmm. That is just classic Kale. That's perfect. And for some reason or another, Robert just kind of seems to fit the Andy Griffin thing.
Yes, and Robert does.
You know,
you nailed that
why.
One on the dot, too.
I don't know why. And me, it's kind of, I'm more of an Elvin Bishop thing, but I got to tell you, I'm sitting here thinking, now, what do I got for an intro for Carl? Because Captain Carl, I got to tell you, you're crazy. I mean, you love these big fish.
Yeah.
You just, I mean, Carl will run from here to Estero Bay or up to Tampa Bay with his boat if he hears about a big fish. If there's a school of big snook, big redfish, he will get in his boat. He will ride 75 miles in his boat to get that big fish.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He says,
that's the point of fishing, to catch the biggest fish.
And he says, like, yeah, doesn't everybody?
I mean, the way I look at it, I go fishing, I want to catch the biggest one out there.
Okay, Captain Carl, KB Charters. This is, and, you know, when you see the picture out there, you kind of get why I got that theme song, yes. I'm sorry, Carl.
It's okay.
Okay. Anyway, so Carl comes up and says, want to do a radio show? I said, sure, Carl, what's up?
Just wanted to talk about yesterday's trip. It was windy out there yesterday. It was windy and rough. There was probably 25, 30 mile an hour winds.
And you love it.
That's the best time to fish.
I mean, there's nobody around. And here goes Carl. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He's back there. And he's tucked up in a little cut or creek somewhere. And you did catch some monster fish.
Yeah, we caught one snook. He was 46 inches. Bottom to bogo grip out of 30 pounds. So.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think he was much over 30, but.
He was over 30.
No telling.
Yeah, I mean, 46 inches. I've seen 46-inch snook go 40-some pounds. So, you know, I'll take your word for it, but believe it or not, the state record was never more than 46 inches. It was 46 inches, 46 pounds.
Wow.
And I've seen bigger snook than that caught and never got turned in.
Yeah.
So, when it bottomed out at 30 pounds, it could have easily been 40. I mean, the state record was 46 inches, 46 pounds.
Wow.
Yep. So,
I mean, we caught some big oversized redfish yesterday, too. Wind was really tough, especially push pulling around in there with the wind. So we did a lot of anchoring up yesterday, fishing, cut ladyfish on the Rockport Rattlers.
Wasn't Charles cool?
Yeah, he was a real good guy, real nice guy.
You know, I'm sure we've talked about Tensei a lot, but I gotta say, Charles from Rockport Rattler flew in from Texas to attend the one-day show here at Fish and Frank's. And I got to tell you, I've talked to him and his wife on the phone. They're better in person.
Oh, I bet you he wasn't expecting what he came to.
They were at this big mega show in Louisiana. And him and his wife, you know, told him, you know, okay, well, you go, you know, and she'll do the Louisiana show because that's where they expected to sell all the stuff. We rocked that Louisiana show. We kicked their butt, didn't we, Carl?
Oh, yeah, we did. we did. Little old Port Charlotte.
Port Charlotte rocks.
Yes, it does.
I will tell you guys, and I don't care what you say, you might think I'm sucking up or whatever, the absolute fact of this is they cannot get over how nice you guys are. The customers, the people that show up at this tent sale, the nicest, most pleasant, patient, very cool. I mean, and they're here to ask questions and to learn and really get involved with it. And that's why we bring the owners of these companies in.
Yep.
And Charles was really patient. I mean, he sat there and he showed everybody and he rigged baits and he just, what a great guy.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. Hope he gets to come down here again. Sometimes we get to take him fishing or something.
Well, I've told him that next year at the tent sale, because, I mean, they're all the way over in Texas. Oh, yeah. But I said, next year at the tent sale, you got to block out a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we get to go out fishing with him. What a great guy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I shouldn't, but the weird part about this is when you meet these people, the owners of the company, you never really know what to expect.
No, you have no idea what to expect.
You know, I've talked to them on the phone, and I took a flyer on these guys because I usually wait until I've met them and talked to them and find out a little more about them. But I just couldn't believe how pleasant they were doing business with them.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're now one of their largest customers in the U.S. We now sell... We started, what, in October with them, November?
Yeah, yeah.
And we've worked our way up in the last few months to, we're one of their top accounts. And he was trying to figure out how we're selling so much of this stuff. It doesn't. All you have to do is show somebody how to use it, and boom, and they're catching more fish.
Oh, yeah, it works. You mean multiple ways, too. I mean, under a bobber, it works for trout, using with cut bait.
All right, well, let's go back to yesterday. Explain how you were catching these redfish and these snook. How were you rigged up, and what were you doing?
Well, it was kind of hard to fish. Normally, I've been fishing with a shrimp on the back of a rock port, but, I mean, it was kind of hard yesterday to do that with the wind. So we switched it over to more cut bait, cut ladyfish, hooking it just however you could hook it. Through
just the, get the hook through it. Now, yeah. Rock ports come in 1-aught, 2-aught, 3-aught, 4-aught, and so on and so forth, and all the different weights.
Mm-hmm.
What were you using, 4-aught?
No, actually, I was using a 1-aught.
A 1-aught?
Yep.
So, what was it, a one-finger, two-finger piece of ladyfish?
About two-finger piece of ladyfish.
Now, when we talk about one-finger, two-finger pieces, if you lay your bait fish down and you're going to cut it into pieces, if you lay your fingers on the bait, that's how thick it is. Mm-hmm. And it's cutting them like you would chopping them in steaks. So not lengthways, but sideways, you know, so you get little pieces. But every fish, you look at the mouth of the fish that you want to catch, and you say, okay, this will fit. And so it's a, you know, one finger is a pretty thin slice. Two fingers is kind of average.
Mm-hmm.
But you're doing 2 and 3 fingers?
Yep.
That's some big, big fish.
Bigger bait, bigger fish, theoretically.
I don't want to mess with little fish. I want big fish. Because little fish ain't as much fun as big fish.
Yeah, that's true.
And Carl, he's big fish crazy, man.
I mean, I knew there was big fish in the area. So, I mean, we caught all of our redfish off of cut ladyfish yesterday. We got the snook, all the snook on shrimp on the rock port. Which
now,
was surprising.
Were you doing it on the bobber or on the bottom again?
On the bottom.
So, now, when you throw over there, are you pitching up under the mangroves? You working the potholes?
Yesterday, first thing in the morning, we started in the backcountry in this little flat, I know, down the east side. It's a big grass flat. It's got a bunch of potholes, got a bunch of oyster beds in it. We were just bouncing from hole to hole out there. Once the tide came in, then we switched up to the mangroves, and we started pitching cut ladyfish in the mangroves.
So, now, what Carl's trying to say is, because when you throw your bait out, you've got, you were using shrimp on the jig heads, right, at that point? Throw it out, but when you bring it back, give a lifting motion of the rod. If you come in an upward pull sharply, it makes the little rattles inside the jig head go ch-ch-ch. And so, if you try and sweep sideways with it or at 45, you got to keep that rod straight up and give it a flick up. And that allows the rattles to go off. The bait hits the bottom again, and that's what's making this work. If you do anything but a straight upward motion, you drag it on the bottom. You're not getting the effect. It's got a hop.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can get it to come up off the bottom and bang back down, and it's that banging on the bottom and that jig, the rattles in the jig head going ch-ch-ch as you pick it up and let it fall back down. That's what keys in on this. It's light. It's delicate. It's... Humans don't even, you would have a hard time hearing it.
Yeah.
But fish have a much better sense of hearing than we do.
Yep. I mean, popping that straight up and down is also going to help you going through all the grass that we have out there, too. If you go side to side, it's going to be pulling it through. If you go straight up and down, like Frank was saying, it's going to pop out of the grass and fall back on top of the grass.
And, you know, not only does it make it easier so you're not getting hung up, you're catching more fish.
Yep. If your bait's not buried in the grass, you're going to catch a lot more fish.
So I just opened the door. Both you and I are, you know, imbibing in nicotine here. So, you know, and hoping the door cleared out a little bit. I was like,
oh, yeah.
Man, I feel like I'm in a bar in the 70s. It's like, Jiminy. You know, yeah, I know. It's a real professional show. What can I tell you? It's,
But on the redfish, I mean, redfish are starting to eat cut ladyfish now and cut mullet. I've been switching over to that the past couple of weeks. Shrimp is still working very well.
A lot of mullet in the area right now. Boy,
yes.
Behind the house last night just lit up. We had Sean from American Fishing mm-hmm. Wire over at the house last night. Carl was over there. And we're just getting dark. And boy, that canal just lit up. The mullet swirling and going and
full
everything.
Full moon, too.
And that's what it's impressive. You were catching fish during a time when there's full moon. And that's tough, double tough to do.
It makes it a lot tougher because fish tend to feed at nighttime during a full moon because it's so bright out. So it does make the daytime fishing a lot tougher. Sometimes what I like to do is I like to slow down everything. I like to go more to cut bait in those times.
So, yeah, you're out there. You're listening to Carl. Yeah, I want to go out there. I'm going to do the cut bait. And you have no idea. This guy's like psycho in the water. He's running around, jumping on the boat, chasing fish out of the mangroves. I mean, for someone who sounds so laid back, I mean, all of a sudden he gets on the boat. It's like, okay, I'm not neutral anymore. High gear, foot to the floor.
Dry land is boring. I'm lost on dry land.
They used to laugh at me because I was doing all these jobs. You know, I had my own company, construction company, for a long time, and we'd get on land and the guys would say, okay, we're going over to this restaurant. I said, well, how do you get there? They tell me, I'd be lost. I'd get there like 20 minutes late because I could never find my way. We get back out on the water, I could go a place we hadn't been to in 2 years, and I would remember that you'd go this way 50 feet, come around the sandbar, cut through this little corner, and go back up in here.
Yep.
I'm like you. When I get on the water, I know, I remember everything. Uh-huh. You know, it's like, it's
every grass flat, every oyster bed, everything.
I get on the road and I just
lost.
I'm lost. As soon as I hit shore, I'm like, if I'm good in fishing Franks,
yeah.
I'm okay here. I'm good at the house, but I go anywhere else, it's like
just from the route from the house to the shop.
Anywhere else, it's just, why do I want to remember this? I don't care about it. You know, it doesn't make any difference to me.
No.
Oh God, we're horrible. Yep. So anyway, we've been having a great time the last few days. How was the tent sale for you?
It was wild. It was crazy. Tiring. Very tiring.
We're going to get a definitive count at the end of the day, but we got a back going on how many people actually came through. And I'm thinking 2,500.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure over 2 grand.
Yeah, I'm thinking 2,500 people came through Fish and Franks that day. And if you haven't been here, when we say this ain't no boutique, I mean, that's not a lie. I mean, that's a fact. It is all the sights, sounds, and smells of a bait shop.
Yep.
And we had 2,500 people come through. I'm like, it wasn't easy, but it was fun,
it was
wasn't
fun.
It?
Yes, it was really fun. A lot of nice people, a lot of good people.
It was the most amazing thing. And what I never get is people say, well, you got to deal with the public. That's the best part.
Yeah.
That's the only good part about this.
If without the public, we'd be bored.
I mean, you know, when the people come in, you get to talk about fishing, teach them how to build a rig, tie a knot, do whatever. But when they're gone, I'm doing book work.
Yep.
Cleaning the bait tanks, you're sorting shrimp, you're sweeping the floors. But once they're here, it's like, oh my God, that's when the fun starts.
Yep, exactly.
Morning, Dad.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. Hey. Come here, share this for a minute. You went hunting with Josh Greer yesterday.
Yes, I did.
I think you got to come a little closer here, Dad.
We went hunting. Unfortunately, we did not go shooting.
You went hunting, but you didn't go shooting.
Went sightseeing.
It was nice out in the woods with the wildlife and the wild turkey and the deer.
And the Sasquatch that was guiding you?
Oh, yeah. Sasquatch is good. I almost had a shot at him once.
That's probably not hard to miss.
Yeah. I thought, well, should I take it or shouldn't I?
Yeah, and no, you had to log back through the woods.
Maybe I can't find my way out of this place. I better wait. So that's exactly what
were you guys hunting for?
Hogs.
Hogs.
So. Medium size, perfect size, 55 to 59 pound hog. And we didn't see one that weighed 2 pounds, or we didn't see one that weighed 300 pounds.
Nothing, huh?
Nope. But
oh, well.
It was a fun day. Yeah. It was nice. And just getting out in the woods is, it's great. You don't need to kill anything. Just get out and have fun.
By the way, for anybody who doesn't know, this is the original Fish and Frank, my dad. And I am Frank Jr. That's Frank Sr. And yes, as they say, Virginia, there is a Fish and Frank, and we are him.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
So, anyway, no,
it was excellent day yesterday.
So, we've been, Carl's talking about his trip yesterday, and we had a good time with that. What did you think of the tent sale?
Excellent.
Did you get to meet some people and talk with everybody and all that?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Met a lot of people. Know a lot of people. Saw a lot of people I haven't seen in quite a while. But it was good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It was
a little congested, a little mayhem, but everything looked well to me. Looked like it turned out really, really well.
Yeah, I was surprised. It was really neat with the owners of the company and how they... I can't get over Mark Nichols standing behind the table still throwing over the top of it to work the casting tank. Yeah. A little 2-foot rod. So.
Oh, it was nice. It was an excellent day. Good day.
But anyway, all right. Well, we got Sean from AFW here too. Oh, hey, well, Sean, come here.
I'm going to head out and go to work. Unfortunately, I'm not a retired person. I need to work.
Work my butt. He just can't sit home.
Yep.
I need to support my habit. I need gas, beer,
rifles, shotguns, fishing poles.
It's just that. Gas for the boat. I mean, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
We'll see you later, folks.
Thank you, Dad.
See you later, Senior.
We have Sean from AFW. We're going to grab him in here. Now, you guys went out last night. We're going to share a mic here. I don't know what happened to my other microphone. It was here. I don't know where it went. But you went fishing last night.
We
and
did.
You suck.
We did.
You suck. You did. I mean, you were bad, man.
I was
come on.
I was largemouth bass fishing the entire time. I mean, it was you know, not until
See,
I got
Carl,
not
I'm not only
back
I'm not,
to the dock, you know, did Frank say, you really got to pause it. You had mentioned it on there, and I'm just like, I'm retrieving, nonstop retrieving. I'm fast. I'm slow. I just never thought to stop it once. I lost two. We're gonna see what we can do next time. I definitely need a snook. Need one in my hand.
All right, Captain Carl took Robert and Sean from American Fishing Wire, High Seas American Fishing Wire. Let's throw it all in. You got fluorocarbon. You got monoliter. Our number one selling fluorocarbon. Number one selling monoliters. Best swivels in the world, and all your stainless steel wire, your cable wires, your crimps, all that, excellent products. But you suck, buddy. I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry, man.
I can make a hell of a product, but it doesn't mean I can use it properly. I'm going to give it a go. We'll see what happens. Try to get out there today if the weather permits, and see if I can recoup myself.
All right. Hey, Carl, he went out with you yesterday, so he's and you got him, what, two snook on, two
yep.
snook off?
Yep.
Strike one.
Strike two.
And yep. Now, I got to say, you did the right thing. You brought him back for strike three, and he's out, you know.
That's right.
Well, Robert had to get home to the wife.
Now, what's going to go on today? Theoretically, weather permitting, you're going out with Greg.
Yep. Yep.
The good, yeah. The bad, the ugly.
Yes. Yes.
And his brother.
Yes.
Oh,
Greg
my
and
God.
Jeff. It'll be a good day. It'll be a good day. See what happens.
It's not going to be a dull moment.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm not sure I could survive that.
That would be a tough one.
I got a preview
you
at the
see
sale.
Girl's face.
I got a preview yeah. at the sale. And
I was about
good.
To say, you got him on land. Now just imagine on an 18-foot boat.
With weather.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
And Greg, he's a little bit like Carl in that aspect. He really doesn't care. You know, if lightning comes up, you're coming back. Mm-hmm. If there's no lightning, heaven help you, Sean, you're going to be there.
Let me tell you, I'm good. I mean, I understand the chop, but we usually have a, you know, a pretty deep V on our boats up north. It's a little different when you're running in a flats boat, let me tell you.
It's like riding a surf
That's right.
across
That's
six
right.
foot waves, you know?
Yes, it is.
But you're going to have a great time. I've been asking everybody, because I'm an arrogant, egotistical person. We know that. How was the tent sale?
Unbelievable. I mean, you know, we talked about it back in October when I committed, when we right. sat down for dinner. And since October, you know, you guys have told me what it would be like, you know, every time we've spoken. And still, at 8 o'clock, you know, in the morning on Saturday, my eyes were wide open because I couldn't believe it. It was such a good feeling to see how everybody responds to it, how people just thanked you and wanted nothing more to be a part of it. It was something that I want to do every year.
It is an amazing experience.
I can't wait. It is something now, I've never experienced.
You and every other manufacturer always, I mean, everybody says the same thing. Where do you find these people? And I try and tell them they're everywhere. The nicest people on the planet you meet out here in the parking lot and in the store. Mm-hmm. The customers that come in, the clientele here is absolutely staggering.
It really is.
They're patient. They're interested. They want to learn. They want to know why they're using this, why they're using that. Of course, they want a really good deal. That's where they're coming. They want to learn. They like getting that great deal, the super prices of that day that you guys provide. And I'm always just, I know what kind of people I have here, the clientele, the customers, how great they are. It's always neat when you get a new person that comes in and goes, where do you find these people?
Wow. I mean, and there's not a question that goes unanswered. There's not a question that was brought to me that day that, I mean, I couldn't grab the closest one of your associates, and it was answered. I mean, it didn't go to a second person. I mean, it was just some of the most knowledgeable people
in one spot. I will brag on a few things, and one of them I will brag on is the guys who, my pirate crew, the guys who support me and help me and keep me alive and keep me from really doing stupid stuff are just the most amazing group in the world.
They really are.
A very eclectic group. I mean, have you ever met more unique personalities than what
I
you
want
met
a family
here?
Photo. I want to put a family photo of the Fish and Frank's crew in my office. Let me good. Tell you that.
That'd be good.
But, so when you guys went fishing, okay, let's find out what you did. Because you were only out for an hour or two. You had two snook on.
Two snook on.
So, Carl, how did you get out and get this, you know, rookie here onto two snook?
It was late in the day, so we weren't going to run down the harbor. So we stayed up in the river, fished the docks. We've been catching a lot of fish up there lately, but last night wasn't going on, really.
Well, how long did it take you to get two snook on?
About an hour or so.
All right, yeah, it's not really going on. Now, Sean... You hear him here, right?
Yes.
I went out and I, you know, wasn't. Is he anything like that on the boat?
No. No, he's very focused. I mean, he's on it. Just every time, everything was done. I mean, boom, boom, boom. He put it. I mean, there were spots that. Now, you're talking about someone that up until this point, you know, snook fishing was on TV.
Right.
You know, it was something that I've never done. I knew the concept of it. But I still never had put, you know, into a mangrove
storm stick shad.
They're using that white storm stick shad.
The 614 twitching, whatever it is. It's the storm lure. I mean, it's the bomb.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, it really is. Action and it doesn't even look like it. You look at it in the pack, you go, why am I buying this? Yeah. There's nothing special about it.
It's got great movement.
Yeah.
You can feel it the whole way. Absolutely.
So... Jim, you're welcome.
Yes. Did you meet Jim? I did meet Jim, and we wanted to throw that plug in there for him. He's a hell of a guy.
Well, yeah, Jim has been a really good friend of mine. Jim is the Rapala guy at the booth there, by the way. And Rapala and Storm, you know, same family. And, you know, it's an amazing bait. So, now, you guys go out, you get out of the canal, you turn, and you just start fishing, right?
Well, he takes us into a little cove, a mangrove, you know, with just a dock on one side, wall on one side, seawall on one side, mangrove on the other. So we go into that cove. He stakes us in, and you know, start tossing into the mangroves. And you know, I think right after that, after we tossed into the mangroves, we went over in that seawall, and I put it right into that tree, about 30 feet in the air. Yep. And then
you're in the club with me and Greg.
That was
Greg and I see who could screw that up was the it. Highest.
I couldn't believe how well that lure went.
Squirrel Greg still hasn't beat me. I do squirrel fishing. I'm 4.
Oh man,
I got Greg by 4 feet higher. He was about 18 feet up in the man, tree. I was about 23.
Yeah, man, it was up there. So we did that, and you know, once we got a feel for the mangroves, the seawall, and the docks, I started to, you know, get a better understanding of what I was trying to do, and I was hesitant. Let me tell you, I mean, I was a little scared to get into those mangroves at first because I didn't know how many baits we had. Absolutely, right. You know,
I will tell you down here, if you're casting 6 feet away from the tree or whatever, being safe, and you look more foolish.
Yep.
If you're snagging it,
yep,
you know, at waterline or 2 feet up in the trees, you know, if you're really pushing it, you look cool, but. Being way out away from the trees, no, that's wuss.
I learned that pretty quick.
Yeah, you're a wuss.
Carl had me, going into it pretty quick. So it was nice.
You got to go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Carl's got a charter today, and I'm going to finish up with Sean. I'm going to get you to switch over to Carl's chair. You can put the headphones on. We've been sharing microphones here. Captain Carl, good luck on your trip today.
Everybody have a good day.
Thank you, sir. As usual, you're amazing, and I appreciate, you know, Carl got off a trip last night, tired, he'd worked a tent sale, he went on a charter, and Robert and Sean wanted to go fishing, and he jumped right back on the boat, not even a moment's hesitation, took these guys out, and you are the bomb, Carl. You really are.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother.
You guys have a good one.
Thank you.
All right. Anyway, he is a nice
He's
guy.
He's good, man. I really enjoyed my time.
Yeah, you can pull it over, do whatever you need to do. There you go.
Definitely enjoyed my time with him yesterday.
Yeah, I'm Carl's just an amazing young man. You know, isn't it funny I say that? I'm like, you know, I help God name dirt. You know, he wanted to call it Murph.
Uh-huh.
I said, Murph ain't going to work. It doesn't have the right ring to it. I said, you know, when we're going to do this, let's give it some punch.
I like it.
You know.
I like it.
So, you know, that's how old I am. All right. Anyway, how's life in Pennsylvania?
It's snowing. It's snowing up there right now. Yeah, I talked to the wife this morning. You know, she told me, do anything, don't come home with a tan. And I think the tent sail is going to get me in quite a bit of trouble.
You're coming home with a tan.
I'm coming home with
now,
a tan.
Next year, you ought to bring her.
I definitely will. We have a six-week-old boy.
You got a six-week-old baby?
I do.
Okay, what's his name?
Michael. I was trying to get him to come down, you know, this time, but we didn't want to put him on the airplane so quick. So
gotcha.
Next year will be his first annual Fish and Frank's tent sale.
There you go. And, you know, as you've seen at my place, there's plenty of, I mean, I have extra boats.
Yeah.
I've got,
yeah.
You know, I got a pirate ship, for God's sake. What kind of maniac has a pirate ship?
It's good. It's a good place.
But, you got to say hi to the wife. Got to say hi to the kid.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Kathleen.
There you go.
Michael, love you, miss you, be home soon.
Yes, and we're sorry he's having such a good time, Kathleen. We apologize that he's enjoying his work trip.
Oh, my goodness, it's a good time down here.
Yeah, we've had a great time. You know, one of the things that is really cool when you own the store is if you can buy great product from really nice people, what more do you want?
And like we were talking about it last night, I mean, it's a two-way street. You guys are unbelievable.
Yeah.
You support it.
Yeah, right.
It's great.
You just don't know me well yet. You'll get over this in a little while. But back to the fishing.
Yeah.
Carl went out yesterday, and they got some amazing fish. It's really good when I have somebody who's just starting.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of explain to me what happened that night, because what you're going to kind of do is get everybody, when they come down and they hit that snook for the first time, what was the difference between the bass fishing and what you were doing?
You know, it's really what you're talking about with not approaching the mangroves, you know, committing to getting inside the mangroves, being hesitant about getting under the structure, and really that being a new type of fishery. I mean, in bass fishing, you know, we fish docks and we throw it under. The docks have a lot more clearance than what they do down here, you know, up north. So it's not as tight as a spot, and I can hit spots, It's just it's that
you got to relearn how to skip.
You
got
to relearn how to skip it, and, yep. and that's what it came down to. So you know, when we were out there for an hour and a half, for the first half an hour,
what was it like when you got to hit?
Oh, it was good. It felt good.
No, I mean, now you throw out.
I throw out. I'm inside the dock, right. You know, and literally in the shadow on the outside shadow of the dock coming through is when it hit, and I fought it. You know,
how was it? Like bass snook, what was the hit like? Similar, very similar, a little bit.
You know what? It was very similar to a striper.
Really?
Yeah, in the way that it hit and turned initially. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get to fight it long enough to really understand.
Oh, man, I thought you at least got a jump or two out of it.
I got one jump and it was gone. Yeah. I did. I got one jump, so I got a pull, a jump, and it was gone. And then the last one or the second one that I missed. Was literally that. I mean, it came up, hit the bait, pushed the bait, and was gone. And that was the last one that we saw even swirl on it.
Yeah, there's a bite window a lot of times. And you get there during that bite window. And one of the cool things about Carl is he's got kind of an instinct for where to go, where the bite's going to be. I mean, it's like he saves everything. He's walking around here and going, yeah, okay. And he'll come alive when a customer's talking to him.
Yeah,
he does. You know, if somebody comes up and asks him questions or wants a rod and reel or a lure or help getting rigged up, he just pops up and he's alive. But as soon as he's not with somebody or on a boat, it's just like he shuts everything off.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's the same way. I mean, like when we're on the boat, okay, it is the same way as in the store. If you're not asking him something, he is so locked in to the next spot or, you know, trying to get you onto that fish or trying to find that perfect area. But then as soon as you ask him a question or you engage him about, you know, he's right on it. He's right on it. But he is locked in to catching fish.
It's just crazy. The only reason I bring this up, because what do you hear about the radio? What a great radio. Come on, Carl. But anyway, so you... You've been to South Florida a few times.
Yes,
but
yeah.
It's such a great place, isn't it?
I love it. I love it. And this is only my second time actually going, you know, after snook.
Right.
So I did it on the East Coast.
Right.
I think I was telling you. I went over, I was the inlet north of Port St. Lucie.
Right.
And they were catching them. I was watching them catch them. I was using the same bait as them, and I kept catching bluefish. Bluefish. Now
I'm from the Northeast.
I'm from the Northeast.
You can catch bluefish whenever you want.
I can catch bluefish any day of the week, and I put in a good 5 hours overnight, you know, doing that.
I will tell you, Captain Kale had a 12-year cobia curse. He would go out, and his clients would catch cobia, his friends would catch cobia, his wife would catch cobia, but under no circumstances. I mean, he'd be standing right in front of a rod, and the rod would start to go. He'd get his customer, come on, get this rod, and all of a sudden, you know, and all of a sudden, beautiful cobia. And the next one, beautiful cobia. He's all these cobia around him, and 12 years went by, and all of a sudden, boom. He started getting. Now he can catch them anytime.
Yeah.
He can go out and if there's cobia around, he can actually catch the cobia. But so don't feel bad. There is times where the gods conspire. Poseidon is not a gentle god.
I've wanted
He's vindictive.
One. I've wanted one so long, and I just think it's them putting in, you know, me putting in my time. I was lucky when it came to a striper. You know, guys go so many years without getting that big striper.
Right.
And I, on my third cast,
really?
When I was little, yeah. I mean, I had a 30-plus pounder.
My God.
So, you know.
Now, that's one of the things I'm going to do. The wife has relatives up in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
They're in Lake Hopatcong up there and, you know, that area.
Yep.
So, I think that's right off 80.
It is, yeah. It's up north, like south of New York.
Not far from the Delaware Water Gap.
Exactly,
there.
Yeah.
I fish Lake Hopatcong. I think it's a great fishery. And, you know, I go up there and it's a lot of fun for me because I watch the guys with the bass tournament.
Uh-huh.
And me and Mike are sitting in this little aluminum boat. We're rocking them. We're catching fish after fish. And these guys with the bass boats, you know, all the glitter.
it's great. And Jersey has such a good fish. My wife is from North Jersey. And she has Bud Lake up there, which is she's a little south of 80.
Yeah.
You know, near 20 minutes from the Delaware Water Gap, 35 minutes from the Poconos, kind of if they were to meet. And it's so unfished up there. The guys are, I mean, it's crazy. It is crazy that you can go up there and you can have a 50 fish day, 60 fish day.
Oh, yeah.
Decent sized bass. I mean, they don't have the
3 pounders, exactly. 2 pounders, pounder. I mean,
decent size for the Northeast.
Yeah, 1 to 3 pounds. I mean, they're nice fish. They're a lot of fun. You know, with the right rod and reel and everything, it's a great time. Yeah. I love fishing up in Jersey. Everybody, when you think of Jersey, you never think of these beautiful little lakes they have.
No, and they do. They do.
It's great up there.
You know, and then what we need to do. What
you couldn't get me up there now if you had a gun in my head.
Well, next time you get up there, we need to get over to the shore. And we need to get a striper, a nice striper.
Point Pleasant rocks. Yes, I mean, the absolutely. Jersey Shore rocks. The people up there are amazing. You know, I got to tell you, we have so many friends and customers that come back and forth from Jersey, New York, and everything, Boston up in there. But that, you know, I do have a special plate for that whole, there's an island in Jersey, I think it's Point Pleasant.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And those people rock.
Yeah, they're good.
I mean, they're big into fishing, they're a lot of fun. I mean, I don't quite understand, you know, a lot of, I don't understand when they talk sometimes, but, you know, they're just great people, and I have a lot of fun. I really want to go over there and fish, and I've been there a couple of times, never had an opportunity to fish. Both times it was like weddings or this or that or the next thing. So I got to, and, you know, absolutely, we'll come up, we'll get together, go fishing.
No, absolutely. That'll be a good time. But it's really crazy up there. I mean, when these guys get into fishing, and I mean, you talk about Point Pleasant, all right, which is north side.
Right.
You come down the coast, 40 miles, and they don't know what you're talking about when you talk about, you know, the way you're fishing in Point Pleasant.
Separate worlds. You get this chunk. But, you know, that goes on here, too, a lot. We have Charlotte Harbor. Then you got the Venice areas. You've got Estero Bay. You've got 10,000 Islands. They're all similar. But everybody's got their own techniques, their own lures, their own baits. It's crazy. If you go to the Keys, everybody's ballyhoo. They use cut ballyhoo for snappers, use ballyhoo for trolling, use ballyhoo for everything. If you go to the Panhandle, it's all about cigar minnows. You got to have cigar minnows, you're not catching fish. You go out here, it's Spanish sardines. You want Spanish sardines. And
you got to love it.
We're all in Florida here for guys. You got to love it. But it's neat when you learn the different tricks and trades. But anyway, I think we're going to try and wrap this up.
Good.
Kathleen,
Michael,
any buddies or friends up there you want to say, I'm in Florida.
Whoever knows me knows that I'm enjoying it and at the same time regretting leaving Kathleen. But I'll try not to have too much fun today.
Yeah. Kathleen, he's hurting. He's missing. I mean, so you bad. Are, I know, but it's I so mean, bad. You know, it's, sorry about that. I know you haven't met me and you already hate me, but you know, anyway, we're looking forward to meeting you, Kathleen and Michael. So, this is Fish and Frank, and let me see, we're going to go back and we're going to try and play our way out of this a little bit here. Nice day to go fishing. It's a nice day, and y'all have a nice day, and eat your chocolates, be good out there. This is Fish and Frank, and I really hope you have a great day. So, anyway, Sean, yes, I'm weird. I can't help it.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, Fish and Frank, and we'll see you in the next Radio Fishing. Thank you guys so much for listening. Bye-bye.